Okay, today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Gimel. We're going to start at Bet Amud Bet we're at the second wide line. Okay, the end of the second wide line. My time atane shalosh. Okay, we're continuing on our discussion of, we had the whole discussion, is it Lashon Zachar or Lashon Nekeva? Why is the Nosei of our Mishnah? In the end, we kind of say the Nosei is women, and that's why we're going to do it Nekeva, as opposed to with the Zav, where we check the Zav is only in a male Zav case, not in a female Zava, and therefore there it says it in Lashon Zachar. Okay, but they're going to continue. I guess it's not a fully satisfactory answer. And they're going to say here, if they really wanted to use the three last words on the second wide line, my tamatan is shalosh mishum drachim. And it's also, we're going back to the assumption that they said derech is nekeva, even though we kind of said, but derech appears by the zav and it's zachar. So it's a little strange they're going back to this. But they say, if we're going to say shalosh is because of the word derech, drachim, again, they keep wanting to go back to, it really should be Zachar, because even though we said it's the Isha, in general, the Mishnah chooses Lashon Zachar. Again, I don't know exactly where they get that from. Nitnei Dvarim, v'nitnei Shlosha, okay, so why don't we just, instead of saying there's three drachim that the woman gets married, that the woman is acquired by her husband, why don't we say there's three things that three dvarim types or something, right? Dvarim is also another general word that could have been used instead of drachim. And davar is zachar, so then they could have used lashon zachar. Okay, presumably strange question. Often, by the way, in Svora Isugyas, I neglected to mention this yesterday, often the questions they ask are not as important as they're using the questions as a springboard to get to answers. As they want to say other things. So in saying other things, right, in other words, in bringing up some question, which maybe isn't the greatest question, right, I usually say the opposite. Question's better than the answer. Here, the whole reason for asking a question is just to get to an answer. Okay, they want to say, and the answer is not really even answering the question, it's really saying, I wanted to show you, compare this to other Mishnayot, where the word either drachim is used or davar is used, or dvarim. You see the one they quote is davar, and what's the difference between drachim and dvarim? Why does some Mishnayot use Dvarim and some Drachim? So now they say, Mishum dekabai lemitne bia, v'bia ikre derech, dechti v'derech gever ba'alma, kein derech isha mina efet. Okay, this is a pasuk from Mishle. The way of a man with a woman, with a young maiden, is the same way of an isha who's mina efet, okay, who goes and sleeps around. So because derech is used in the reference to sexual relations, therefore, our Mishnah talks about sexual relations. One of the ways they could get married is through sex. Therefore, let's use the word derech because it references, right, it alludes to something, to sexual relations, which relates to our issue. And therefore, let's use the word derech. So they say, well, hatinach bia. That makes sense, right? There's three ways. It only works for one of the ways, not for the other two, right? Kesef ushtar ma'ika lemehmar. So they say, mishum bia, because bia is mentioned there, so therefore they use the word derech, which references bia. So now they say, v'tane tarti atuchada. Why don't they say something that relates more to the kesef and the shtar, which are maybe dvarim rather than drachim? Over the one, right? Two is more than one. We usually go by rov also, if you want to take a halachic perspective. So why wouldn't we do it that way? So now what do they say? Hani nami tzorach bia ninhu. Which makes a lot of sense that what? The kesef and the shtar are only the lead into bia. That really the way, right, kiddushin is the original, the initial stage. But ultimately, the whole thing is to lead to a bia, to a relationship, a sexual relationship between the husband and wife. And therefore, we're going to use this term of derech. That's one answer. Second answer is going to be Rabbi Shimon. Maybe it matches Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Ditanya Rabbi Shimon Omer mipnei ma amra Torah ki kach ish isha velo katab ki ti lakach isha leish. Why is the subject the man taking the woman? And why doesn't it say when the woman gets taken to the man, which is kind of like our Mishnah, right? The Mishnah put it in the woman's perspective, but the pasuk puts it as the man is initiating. So what did they answer? Mipnei shedarko shel ish lachazer al isha ve'ein darka shel isha lachazer al ish. Okay, this is the right our statements that fit into the typical stereotypes of male versus female. That generally the men pursue the women and the women don't pursue the men, and that's why the Torah said it that way. And here they're going to give a mashal, which is an interesting one. Mashal la'adam sha'avdalo aveda. Mi chozer al mi, ba'al aveda machazer al avedato. When somebody loses something that they had, who looks for what, right? The lost item doesn't try to find its owner, but the owner tries to find its lost item. Okay, now, why is this? Who's the lost, right? What are we referencing here? So Rashi says we're referencing Adam HaRishon. In other words, right, she was taken from one of his ribs, and therefore, right, he's trying to find that lost piece of him. Okay, and that's the concept they're referencing here. And therefore, what does this connect to our issue? It's derech, right? That there's darkosh, it's referencing this idea of darkosh el ish l'chazer achar isha. Okay, again, a little bit, right, not so connected. V'haditna, now they're going to say, wait a minute. So, we understand by Isha. So, the Isha nikneh b'shlosha drachim. Why do we use drachim? Either because of the bi'ah, which is also called derech, or because the darko shel ish l'chazer achar isha. But, now we're going to compare other mishnayot that uses drachim and doesn't have that reason. Right, that was the case we saw already. Litni dvarim. Why don't we use the word dvarim? Hatam hakamashmalan the darka de michlal yetera la tuyeli de ziva the darka de mishya yetera la tuyeli de ziva. Also, there's a derech that's referenced there. What's the derech that's referenced there? That food and too much eating and too much drinking will cause ziva. So again, they're using something that has darko shel this. Now again, you have to look at the sugya and say, like what I said at the beginning. Clearly, these are not great answers. Just because, right, there's things that lead to these things, right? It doesn't mean you should use the word derech to say there's seven ways that we check the zav. It's not directly connected. But again, I think what they're trying to do here is use it as a springboard to mention all sorts of things that they want people to know about. Okay? Next one, v'haditnan etrog shaveh li'ilam b'shlosha drachim li'nei dvarim. Again, the etrog is like a tree in three ways. Also there, you should say dvarim. Mishum debi'inan, and so now, why did you use drachim? Okay, we learned this in the past, by the way, that an etrog has certain halachot, it's a tree, right? An etrog goes on a tree. There's certain halachot where it's like a tree, and there's certain halachot where it's treated like a vegetable. Okay, what are the differences? So tree, first of all, you can look at Rashi. Tree has orla, rivai, right? You have the third year, you can't eat the fruits. Rivai, the fourth year, you have to bring them to Yerushalayim. Nohebo ki'ilan. Ulinyan shvi'it, hochim beperuta v'chareach hanata ki'ilan, v'lo achar lekita. When it comes to the hochot of Shemitah, we go after not the year that you pick it, but the year that it buds. Okay, that's how we go by Shemitah. That's why this year, we're after the Shemitah year, but the fruits are all Kedusha Shvi'it this year for the most part, depending on what tree and when. But it all goes by when the tree budded. Like now the trees outside, you can see they're budding. It depends on which tree. Right, so
the citrus.
Right, the citrus fruits.
Now, and they're the last ones.
Right, so the last ones on the tree are going to come off, and then the new ones are going to grow. But the new ones that are going to grow are going to be from the coming. Right. Okay, so now, in that way, it's like an ilan. So now they're saying it should say dvarim and not drachim. Why does it say drachim, right? There's no derech here that we could come up with, no right concept behind this. So what do they say? Mishum debi'ina mitnei seifa uli yerek b'derech echad. So when it says in the end of that it's like a yerek b'derech echad, therefore it needed to say derech in the resha also. So now they say, whoa. Seifa nami nidnei davar. That didn't prove anything. You should also use davar in the seifa. Should have said b'davar achad. So what do they say? Hatam hakamashmalan. They want to teach you d'derche d'etro ki yerek. Now they're going to teach you why is it like a yerek? Why does etrog have a unique halacha? Because an etrog is like a yerek in one. There's the derech of an etrog, the way it grows, is similar to vegetables. How so? My yerek dar koli gadel al kol mayim ubishat lekitato isuro. Af etrog ligadel al kol mayim ubishat lekitato isuro. What's unique about a yerek? A yerek, trees generally get their water from rainwater, and they don't need much water, much more water than that, or from the river, whatever. But vegetables, they'll gadel al kol mayim, meaning they grow from rainwater, but also you have to water them separately. You have to bring your own water irrigating system. Also, an etrog is more similar to a yerek in that way. And therefore, when it comes to Truman and Masrot, it goes by bishat lekitato. Okay, and not by when it buds. It goes by when it's picked. Okay, so an etrog is unique when it comes to maser, that it goes by when it's picked and not when it budded. V'haditnan, so therefore we see the derech of the etrog is like a yerek, and therefore it has to do with derech, and therefore they use the word derech there. V'haditnan, what about this one? Koi yeshbo drachim shaveh lechaya, v'yeshbo drachim shaveh lebehema, v'yesh drachim shaveh lechaya ulebehema, v'yesh drachim sheino shaveh, one second, v'yesh drachim sheino shaveh lo lechaya v'lo lebehema. Okay, now, a koi, we talked about this, it's a sefek behema, sefek chaya. Okay, we don't know which category it comes in. Now, behemot and chayot have different halachot. For example, a chaya, you're supposed to cover the blood after you shech the animal. Okay, behema, you can't eat the chalev. You can't eat the chalev of a chaya. So there's different halachot about them. So a koi is treated like a behema in the sense that the chalev is asur. It's treated like a chaya in the sense that you have to cover the dam after shlita. It's treated like both of them, that you have to shech them. And it's not like either of them in the sense that there's this isur to crossbreed animals. So you can't crossbreed a koi with a chaya or a behema, even though it's similar to them, since they're considered possibly separate breeds. Maybe one is a chaya, and maybe a koi is a chaya, in which case you can't breed it with a behema. But maybe it's a behema, in which case you can't breed it with a chaya. So therefore, you can't crossbreed it with anything except for, right, you can only breed it with itself. So that's all the different drachim here. So why does it say drachim here? Nitne dvarim. Vitu, and additionally, here's another one. Okay, here we don't have any answer. That's why we're already bringing another one. Haditznan zo achat min adrachim sheshavu gitei nashim l'shechurei avadim. Again, nitnei dvarim. Again, these are one of the ways that gitei nashim are different from shechurei avadim. So why didn't it say they're dvarim? So now they're going to say, okay, well now, those two didn't have a direct answer, right? All the others we said, derech was unique to teaching us something about one of those halachot. So now we're going to have to come up with a different klal. And the answer here is, ela kol hecha di'ika plukta tani drachim. Anytime that there's a distinction, like it's similar in this way but not in that way, or it's right that we're going to start making, this is one of the ways that it's similar, right, but there's other things that it's not. Anytime there's some sort of distinction, or it's like a chaya, but it's not like a this, or it is like that, right, they start making distinctions, it's like the etrog is like a yerek and like an ilan, right, there's all sorts of distinctions made here. Then we're going to say drachim, because then you could say, right, there's different paths. But when there isn't any sort of distinction, then we're just going to say dvarim. Daikanami dekatane, and here we're going to prove it even more, because seifa, in the seifa of the thing about the etrog, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, at the end of that Mishnah, he says, etrog shaveli ilan l'chol davar, shma mina. He says an etrog, he has a unique shita, that the etrog is always like a tree. And what does he say? L'chol davar, not l'chol derech. Because according to him, there's no distinction. So since there's no distinction, he just says davar. Okay, so that's in the end their answer. Okay, again, what you make of this, you know, it's one of those sugyot that you say, okay, it's svara isugya, it's got its own unique flavor. You know, what exactly their intent was, I don't know. Okay, now we're going to darshan more things about this Mishnah. If you remember in the Mishnah, what did it say? It said, we started off by saying that a lot of Mishnayot give numbers, right? It started saying there's three ways that she gets acquired, and there's two ways she buys herself out. So now they want to know, why did they bring numbers? Okay, even though you might say, well, that's just the style of the Mishnah. But the Gemara again wants to darshan this. Minyana deresha lemiute mai, minyana desefa lemiute mai. The three ways that she gets niknet is to exclude what? And the two ways is to exclude what? Now, there's once you say it, it's like if you say, hey, if you just said aisha niknet because of ashtar bibi'ah, you could say maybe they left off. Remember, we have all those cases where they said tana shir, right? The tana left off, and then every time it left off, we had to say, well, if it left off one, right? It must have left off more than one. Otherwise, it wouldn't just exclude one thing. So we would say, okay, there was a list of things and it just didn't bring everything. But if you already give a number and you say three and then you bring three things, you can't start to say at that point, well, it left things out. Because if you gave a number, then it means just that number and not anything else. So now they're saying, well, if that's the case, then it must be that it was specifically telling us a number so that we don't add anything else to the list. So now the question is going to be, what would be possibly added to the list? So, minyana deresha, lemiute chupa. You might have thought that knisat achara chupa. Okay, let's say, what was generally happening, remember, there was kiddushin, the first stage, and then there would be mesirat achara chupa, which again, we talked about maybe yichud, maybe it's going into a, you know, like a room by themselves, that's yichud, maybe it's just going under some sort of canopy, right? That, there's a halachic, right? We now say it's yichud, basically. That's why we go into the yichud room after. Maybe he has to bring her to his house, I think is one of the options. So anyway, let's say there was no kiddushin. And they just did the nisuin and l'shem kiddushin also. They said, we're going to do k'nisat tachara chupa in the name of kiddushin. So, comes to teach you, that doesn't work. Okay? The minyana of the three means to say, one of the ways of kiddushin is not chupa. You need a separate act of kiddushin right now. We do it under the chuppah, but that doesn't mean that we do it as chuppah. We do the berkav kiddushin, and we do the passing over of the ring. That's the kiddushin, right? So we have it separate. We do it under the chuppah, but here they mean just having chuppah, the shame kiddushin. So that doesn't work. Ula Rav Huna, but what about Rav Huna? Da'amar chuppah koneh, mikal v'chomer. Okay, we're going to see this on Daf Hei, so we're not going to get into it now, but Rav Huna has a unique shita that chupa could be kone le'inyan kiddushin, and he learns it from a kal v'chomer. We'll see what it is on Daf Hei. So according to him, le'me'ute mai, what does the number come to exclude? Le'me'ute chalipin. Okay, what's a kinyan chalipin? That's a kinyan that you're probably familiar with. Some people take a handkerchief and they raise it, right? Now handkerchief, we'll see in a minute, that chalipin can be done without something that's worth anything, right? Generally, a handkerchief might not even be worth a pruta. You know, who knows how much it's worth, but you can take anything. You can take a string and lift it, right? It's just symbolic. Chalipin is where one person passes over one thing, one person passes over something else, but the thing they pass over in exchange might not be worth the value of it. It's just a symbolic act of transferring ownership. So now they're teaching us that you can't marry a woman with a kinyan chalipin. You can't just transfer some object that has no connection to the case here and just raise it up and say, okay, that's a kinyan. So now what do they say? Sal kadat achamina, you might have thought that hoil v'gamar kicha kicha miste Ephron. Since we learned, how did we learn the whole thing of kiddushin, right, that it's bekeseth? We learned it from stay Ephron. Mas saden miknia b'chalipin. You could actually acquire a field through chalipin. Therefore, you might have thought hachanami chalipin. Okay. So now that you might have thought that. So now, what are they going to say? Hachanami. Period. Okay. You might have thought. I skipped a line. That's why. Mas saden miknia b'chalipin. Afishanami miknia b'chalipin. Kamashmalan. Okay, and therefore it teaches you that it's not the case. You might have thought that since we learn it from the field, and the field can be bought with chalip, and the old woman would also. That's why it's telling you, so remember, three was to exclude chuppah, but according to the opinion, the chuppah can affect kiddushin, then it's to teach you that it can't be chalipin. Why would you have thought chalipin bichlal would be relevant? Because we learn it all from the sadeh, and the sadeh can be bought by chalipin, therefore maybe the woman also. So now they say, ve'em ha'chanami chalipin. So, well, maybe she should be allowed to be bapa chalipin, just like we just suggested, right? We suggested and rejected it, but they're saying, what makes you think she can't be bought with chalipin? So what do they say? Ve'em ha'chanami. Now, again, I have to read it, right? Em ha'chinami. Maybe also it can be. So what do they answer? Chalipin itnuhu b'pachom ishava pruta. V'isha b'pachom ishava pruta lo miknia nafsha. Okay, a king and chalipin can be affected with something that's not even worth a pruta, and a woman cannot be. And that's why we don't allow chalipin, even a chalipin where you would do a king and chalipin with an object that's worth a shava pruta, we don't allow a kinyan chalipin when it comes to marriage, because kinyan chalipin in general, since it can be done with something less than shava pruta, we don't allow it. And here, why don't we allow pacha mishava pruta by a woman? Okay, now it says that Rashi is going to comment. Diginai hula. Okay, here they have some sensitivity to the woman. You know, it's a total embarrassment to buy her with something that's not worth anything. Okay, and therefore, it doesn't work. Okay, so now they say it has to be like the lashon of a kinyan or a kicha or a kiddushin. That's what Rashi says, as opposed to a chalipin. Okay, it's a bit of a different type of kinyan. So now they want to know the seifa. What about minyana de seifa? What does that come to exclude? Limiute chalitza. Let's say, okay, now what does this mean, chalitza? There is no chalitza by marriage. Okay, but what they want to say is, let's say, okay, why anyone would want to do this, I have no idea. But let's say you wanted to get out of marriage, okay, you want to divorce your wife, and you decide instead of doing a get, I'll do a chalitza ceremony. Would a chalitza ceremony work by a marriage? And that's what it's coming to tell you. There's two ways she's koneh atzma. One is get, and one is mitaka ba'al. And one of those is not chalitza. She cannot use chalitza, or he can't, right? They can't do a chalitza ceremony to get rid of the marriage. Now, why would you have thought this? Seems strange. But then again, if you recall, when we talked about chalitza, we suggested that what if a husband gives her a get instead of doing chalitza? Now, you might say that's a more obvious, right, since get is the general one, right, it's more obvious that maybe he would think he could do get. We saw, by the way, there were all sorts of ramifications. If a husband gave a wife, if a yabam gave his yivama a get before he does chalitza, so we learned from there that he already apostles her, she can't marry any of the brothers now, she can't marry him. In other words, he's basically saying, I want to have nothing to do with you, but she's still not ptura, she still needs chalitza, okay? It's not enough, but it's enough to say basically, well, now she can't marry him.
I don't think it's strange that strange that they didn't include it, because it is really a third way for a woman to free herself.
So it is a way for a woman to free herself, but only from Yibum, not from the Mishnah, okay? If you recall the structure of the Mishnah is first marriage, then it talks about Yibum and Chalitza at the end of the Mishnah. So the last line of the Mishnah is Hayivama Nikne Bibia. So there they were specifically showing how a woman gets married and how a yivama. In other words, it's not like they were including the yivama in the marriage one. Okay, there were two separate ones and they were contrasting them. The Dafka wanted to show you that, particularly what the Mishnah is stressing is, by a yivama, it's only chalitza. Right? So again, if you do a get, there's ramifications, but it doesn't free her entirely. And by a woman, it's get and not chalitza, okay? By a regular marriage. And then what are they going to tell you? Why did you have to say this? Because salcha data chamina, you might have thought, titi b'kavachomer mi yivama. Maybe you can learn it from a kavachomer from yivama. Ma yivama she'ena yotza b'get b'yotza b'chalitza. Since a yivama can't be, these are your famous kavachomers, a yivama can't get out with a get, but she is yotza b'chalitza. So zoshe yotza b'get, eino din she yotza b'chalitza. Right? In other words, if she, bonagid, that she has a chamor halacha, she's more chamor than a regular married woman. Why? Because a get doesn't even work with her. But what does work with her? Chalitza. So if that's the case, what are we going to say? That for a woman who get works for, obviously chalitza should work, because chalitza sounds like it's more encompassing. You follow? Since someone who a get doesn't work for has to do chalitza, it must mean chalitza is very strong. It's stronger than get. Right? If you look at it in that way, see if I get it right. Seth always makes a joke about this kavachomer. Meat that can be eaten with a fork but can't be eaten with a spoon, right? So kavachomer, how does it work? Meat can be eaten with a fork, can't be eaten with a spoon. So kavachomer, soup that can be eaten with a spoon, should be able to be eaten with a fork. That's the way this kavachomer works. It's the same thing, basically. Okay? So it sounds like a fork is better, right? In other words, a fork is a better thing. So therefore, if you can, right? It sounds like chalitza is a better thing. So therefore, if something can work, right? But obviously, it's the same kav chomer as here. Exactly. It's the same way it doesn't apply for the soup, right? You can't eat soup with a fork. So therefore, here also, you can't get divorced. Right? But you might have thought that. And that's why it comes to teach you, right? Kav chomer, that it doesn't work, okay? That get, right? Get works for a marriage. Chalitza works for Yibama. They have nothing to do with each other. You can't learn any Kal V'chomer there. Ve'ema hachanami. Now they say, well, maybe you should say that maybe Chalitza should work. So now, why doesn't it work? And this answers your question, Sherry. Why wouldn't Chalitza work for a woman in a regular marriage? Amarkra sefer kritut. Sefer korta ve'en davar acher korta. You actually need a sefer. In chalitza, there's no sefer. Chalitza is a ceremony where you take the shoe, you spit in the shoe, you say a text, but there's no book. And it's clear from the Torah that in order to get divorced, you need a sefer kritut. That's why it wouldn't work. Okay, last question of the day. Now we're going to get into, okay, I made charts for these pages, you know, for the page in general, but you can follow this also. You'll get a sense of where we're going. We're going to try to answer now two questions in one. Bekesef. Okay, now we're talking about this kinyan of kesef, the isha niknet b'shalosh drachim, and one of them is kesef. So now they're going to say minalan. Okay, where do we learn that she can be married with kesef? V'tu, and additionally, haditznan, when it says in the Mishnah, ha'av zakai v'bito b'kidusheha, b'kesef b'shtar b'biya, minalan d'miknia b'kesef, v'kesef da'avuahu. Here's it says that what? That if a father marries off his daughter, okay, now there's two cases where the father marries off his daughter. There's a case of, it's good, yeah, that's an error. There's two cases where the father marries off his daughter. There's, if she's a ktana, she's a minor, and when she's a na'ara, which means she reaches the age of 12, we've seen this many times before, and we're going to see it again now for a bunch of different scenarios where this halacha is relevant. When she's still in Ara, she's still under her father's reshut for nidarim and for, you know, he can marry her off, etc. It's a six-month period, basically, from when she reaches 12 and sees Shtei Simanim. Another 6 months, she's called an Ara. After that, she becomes a Bulgarian and she's in her own reshut. But until then, she's still in her father's reshut, and therefore, he's Zakai, even when she's in Ara, in her kiddushah, whether it's the kesef, the shtar, or the biyah, okay, he kind of takes charge of it. And they want to know, so when he takes charge of it, how do we know, again, that it can be done by kesef, which was our original question, but also, how do we know, in other words, they're saying, where does the Mishnah get this from? Obviously, we know it because the Mishnah says it, but where does the Mishnah get that she can be acquired with kesef? And where does the Mishnah get that the father is zakai to the money? Why does he get the money and not the woman? If she's a na'ara or a ktana, why does he get the money? So, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Damar Kra, the Pasuk says, now this is by the Ama Ivriya. You remember, a woman gets taken in to be a slave. She gets sold into slavery by her father when she's young. When she becomes of age, she becomes, they let her go free. And it says, V'yatzach chinam ein kasef. Okay, meaning, okay, generally, why would she get sold? She got sold because the father owed money, right? So let's say she gets sold into slavery, and there's a rate, right? There's a rate of, the father owes 100 shekel, let's say. Okay, we'll take a small amount, even though it's probably a lot more. Father owes 100 shekel. He sells his daughter into slavery to take care of that 100 shekels. She works, let's say the rate is for each year is 50 shekel. So she works the first year, 50 shekel, and then let's say he frees her after the first year just because he wants to free her. At that point, the father, or let's say the father has the money, he pays back the 50 shekel and the daughter goes free. But if before the 100 shekel is paid up, let's say after the first year, she becomes of age. So what happens, right? The truth is, I can't remember now. She's a Nara, I assume, when she reaches the age of Nara. I'm trying to remember now if it's a Nara or a Bogeret. One second. Just look if it says it here. As soon as she reaches the age of Nara, yeah. Yeah, as soon as she shows Shtei Sarot, she goes free, okay? When she right between the Ketana and the Nara. Okay, as soon as she becomes a Nara, she goes free. But let's say he's still owed 50 shekel, doesn't matter. She's done her service, she goes free, and he doesn't have to pay any money, Okay? To the Adon, the father. So now, what does it say here? V'yatzah chinam ein kesef. What ein kesef? What does this mean? Ein kesef la'adon zeh. Here they're going to darshan now. What does it mean, ein kesef? Ein kesef? This Adon doesn't get any money, okay? Aval yesh kesef la'adon acher. But there is a case of a different Adon who would get money. And who would that be? When else is there someone who has rights to someone else and gets money for her? Ah, umaniu av, that's the father. Okay? So now, what do you see? That there's a case where there's an Adon, and there is money exchanged, right? So what does that show? That the father gets the money for the daughter. So now again, the Gemara is not so satisfied with that. They say, ve'ema l'dida. Maybe the money should still go to her. In other words, she gets the money for the Kiddushin, but maybe it goes to her and not to the father. So they say, hachi hashta, could that really be? Avia mekabel kiddusheha, dichtiv, et biti natati la'ish hazeh. Here we have it in the Motzi Shemra case. It says, the father goes to the Avia's kenim and says, I gave my daughter to this man, and he hated her, and he starts making up this story that she doesn't have betulim. So here you see, et biti natati la'ish hazeh, right? I gave her. V'ihi shakla kaspa. In other words, doesn't make sense if the father gave her, meaning he did the kinyan, obviously he gets the money. So you can't think that he wouldn't get the money. Okay, so therefore, they say it must be that he gets the money, and they darshan it from this Amayivriya case. Okay, in this case, ain't kasef, but in that case, there would be kasef, and from there we learn that, let me make it clear. The Motzi Shemra case, what do we learn? That it's the father who gets it. But where do we learn that it's kasef? We learn it's kesef from v'yatzachinam ein kasef. You follow? Because there's no kesef there, but there would be kesef in a different case. Which, what does that prove? Ah, kiddushin is affected by kesef. Why does it go to the father? That we learn from Motzi Shemra. Because remember, there were two questions. How do we know kesef, and how do we know it goes to the father? That's all fine and good, but they're going to reject this now. Ve'ema hanemile k'tana. Delei layad l'kabel kiddushin. Aval na'aradi layad l'kabel kiddushin. Takdish ihinavsha v'tish kol kaspa. That all makes sense if you're talking about a ktana. Because a ktana doesn't have a yad. This goes back to Gitin about the yad isha. Here there's different opinions about what we're talking about. Does she have a yad l'kabel kiddushin? Okay, is it just that she has to accept the money, kind of like the get, right? That she has to accept it? Or is it more that she has to have a yad, meaning da'at? Right? Yad is just a catchword for intelligence. Intelligence means if she has intelligence, then right. Who has to remember? A woman can't get married against her will. Now, if she's a ketana, it can be against her will if the father wants it. Okay, it's the father's will in that case because we assume that a ketana doesn't have her own will. Now, only in a case, right? I'll get it off the track a little just to remind you of a halacha that we learned. That there's two kinds of kiddushin for ketana. One is the father does it, and then it's kiddushin midoraita. How do we know it's kiddushin midoraita? Because it says that bitina tati li shazeh, right? That the father could affect kiddushin doraita, and therefore, if he has dat, it's a valid kiddushin no matter what. If there's no father, the father's dead, then the mother or the brother can marry her off. If they do it, they don't have rights, midoraita, to do it. It's only derabana. If that's the case, when she becomes of age, she can do what we call mi'un, remember? She says, I'm not interested, and she walks without a get, without any sort of undoing of the marriage. Right, so of age, right, there was a range of age between 9 and 12. I think she can start saying, the truth is, no, I think that she had to be around 12 to do mi'un. But 9 is the age where she's, the truth is really 3. She's right. Oy le bi'ah. 9 is more the age for the man. I'm not sure if 9 was the age for mi'un. I forget. But there was a bit of a range of when you could do mi'un. Okay. So now I'll have to check that when mi'un is. I don't remember. I'm just going to write it down. For what age? Okay. So now they're going to say, so maybe that whole thing that we learned will teach us about kesef, but it won't necessarily teach us that the father gets the kesef for the girl if she's still a nara. Because maybe this whole pasuk at Bitina Tati Lishazeh was only a ketana. But nara di la yad l'kabel kiddushin, tagdish ihi nafsha, maybe she can marry off herself, betishko kaspa, and get the money herself. Why do we say necessarily that the father gets the money if she's still a nara? So now they're going to say, Amar Kra, we'll learn from a different pasuk. Okay, here I charted out each option and each one how it's rejected. B'ne'ureha beit aviha. Where was this pasuk in reference to? This was about Nedarim. This comes up in Bamidbar. Okay, in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed, pasuk Yud Zayin. Eila hachukim asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, ben ish li ishto, ben av lebito. Right, the rights of the husband for the wife's Nedarim and the father for the daughter's Nedarim when? B'ne'ureha beit aviha. When she's a ne'ara, still in her father's house. So what are we going to learn from here? Ah, when she's still in her father's house and she's a ne'ara, kol shevach ne'urim la'aviha. Any proceeds of the ne'ara go to her father. Therefore, if she's going to make money off a marriage, that's going to go to her father. So then they say, wait, ve'alahad amarav hun amarav, minayin shemaseh haba la'av, shenemar, ki imkur et bito la'ama, ma'ama maseh aviyah l'raba, af bat nami maseh yadeh la'aviyah. Where do we really learn that the proceeds, in other words, they tried to use this pasuk b'nureh beit aviyah to learn that the proceeds of a woman go to her father. But they say, wait, we learn that from a different pasuk. We learn from a pasuk of ki imkur isha bito la'ama. Why does it say, it could just say ki imkur isha bito. Obviously she's being sold to be an ama. Why does it have to say the word la'ama? So they teach you that she's just like an ama. That any na'ara is like an ama. That ma, what's unique about an ama? Ama, all her proceeds go to her adon. That's why she was sold to be a slave, right? Any ama, any slave woman, that's the whole idea. She works and her master gets what she does. Af bat nami, this is to teach you that a daughter also ma'aseh yadeh la'aviyah. Now, why do we bring this right now? Because what do they want to tell you? If, right, why do you need to learn it from there? Tepuk le'mi b'nu'ra beit aviyah. Why don't we learn it from b'nu'ra beit aviyah pasuk, right? Then b'nu'ra beit aviyah means, while she's in na'ara, shinur beit aviyah, she, all the proceeds go to her husband. So what's the reason we don't learn it from that pasuk? Ela b'aparat nedarimu dichtiv. The reason is that that has nothing to do with proceeds and money, right? That's all having to do with hatzparat nedarim. Therefore, what are we going to say for our case? Hachanami b'aparat nedarim u'dichtiv. Therefore, we should say the same thing here. We can't learn from b'nu'ra beit aviyah that he gets the kesef kiddushin because the context of that pasuk is hatzparat nedarim and not financial issues. Now they're going to suggest, well, v'chitam ha'nelef mineh. Still, so what? It's Haparat Nedarim, and this is Mamon. Let's just learn from Haparat Nedarim to Mamon. So what's the answer? Mamona me'isur lo yafina. Those are two separate categories. We don't learn, and we see this across the board, that Mamon and Isurim are considered differently. And we talked about this the other day, about how we pass in like Shmuel B'dinei Mamonon and like Rav B'dinei Isurim. In other words, they're two different categories. You can't learn halachot from one to the other. So therefore, we reject this b'nu'ra beit aviyah pasuk. The context there is Haparat Nedarim. We can't learn from there to Dinei Mamon. Okay, next option. B'chitem anelef miknasa. If you recall, when we learned about the Ones and the Mefateh, the guy rapes a woman or he seduces her, he pays a knas, and who does the knas go? Goes to the father. It says, V'natan lavi anara in the Ones case, and then we learn from the Mefateh from the Ones, if I'm remembering correctly which one was written where. I'm pretty sure it's by the Ones case, it says the father. So why don't we learn it from knas? So again, we're going to say knas and mamon are different categories, we don't learn one from the other. Mamona mi knasa lo yalfinan. Last option for today, the chitam anelef mi boshet upgam. There's two things that you pay by the onus and the mafata. There's the mamon, and then there's the boshet and the pagam, the embarrassment and the pagam, like the pagam mishpacha. It caused a bad name to the family. Okay? So that is actually considered dine mamonot. Why is it mamonot? Because at this point, if she goes to get married, it's right. What's the difference between mamon and knas? Mamon is this financial loss. Knas is you're going to pay a fine, not necessarily the value of what it is. Like, for example, you steal, so you have to pay kefel, right? The object, you have to return the object itself, right? What you stole or the value of it, that's mamon. But the extra part that you pay is knas. So we can understand mamon mi knas lo yofinan. But mamon itself, boshket b'kam, is mamon. Because let's say, for example, right now she's a be'ula. She's not a virgin anymore. And a virgin gets less money for her ketubah. So therefore, she's only going to get, if she gets married again, she's going to get 100 shekels instead of 200 shekels. That's a financial loss. So that's mama. So why don't we learn from boshet ibgam? So what are the answer? Shani boshet ibgam, davua shayach begavayu. It is a strange answer. It's a little unclear what this is. So it seems like it's saying that the father, it's a loss for the father. In other words, if the father's going to marry her off and is going to get less money for that, well, it's his loss, the boshet and the pgam. In other words, it's a pgam to him. It's an embarrassment to him that this happened to his daughter. But Rashi goes in a different direction, which is actually very strange. Rashi says, sheyesh lo din chelek bahem, sheyesh biyado levaisha ulepogma b'shvil mamon sheyitnu lo. He can embarrass and humiliate her for money if he wants. What does this mean? Since the father has rights to marry her off to anybody, so he can marry her off, get the kesef kiddushin from some lowlife, basically, and embarrass and humiliate her. So therefore, since he can do that, therefore, the boshet upgam that she gets from the fact that this guy raped her or seduced her goes to the father. Since he has chuyo to do it himself, basically. He could sell her off to some minuval if he wanted. So therefore, the boshet upgam comes to him. It's a very strange answer. I admit, I don't understand it, the sofosha linyan, what exactly this why Rashi adds this. Doesn't seem the pshat of what it is. In other words, to say that the father was embarrassed by this and therefore the embarrassment goes to him makes a lot of sense. Rashi is already taking it one step further and saying, since he can humiliate her by marrying her off to some lowlife, therefore when a lowlife does sleep with her, he gets the boshet and the pgam. I know, it's tough to understand why Rashi says that. Anyway, we'll leave
it. I was thinking that it costs him money because he probably has to feed this girl longer. Because it'll take longer to get her married. So there's an actual financial loss.
There's financial loss because he's going to have to feed her. Right. It's also, in the onus case, the rapist has to marry her, remember? So he stays with her. But then again, he doesn't pay, I think, if he marries her. I think it's only if he doesn't. Forget all the details there. But right. It's definitely a loss for him because he's going to have to deal with her for much longer. Yeah.